You know, you can always tell you're in the wrong church when you bring a tambourine and the usher says, we'll take that. But I snuck it in. I had it in my briefcase. I did, Brother Tossie. I had it right in my briefcase. I was sitting up on the front row and they started singing. I pulled that out and I started jangling with it. And I thought, well, all eyes are on me now. And it was too late then. I thought, well, they're going to look. We'll give them something to look at. So I got my little dance on and I was shouting, playing my tambourine. Boy, after church, I sure got it though, man. I'll tell you that. They were not happy. I shared with you last week a young girl by the name of Tracy who we prayed for. Do you remember that?
Yes.
She delivered her baby and had gone into the hospital, internal bleeding, had some real problems internally, some tears they couldn't find. They did a blood transfusion. Clots came as a result. I mean, just one thing after another. And they really told the family. I visited with them on Monday, and they told the family, look, we're doing everything we can to save her. We're going to try not to lose her. And they were basically thought that she would go. Today, she's coming home from the hospital. Is that a miracle? That's a miracle. I mean, really, that's a miracle. That's a turnaround, amen? Whew. So I thank God for that. I mean, we're just so excited, so excited. You have your Bible this morning? Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. I'm going to read out of the Amplified Bible today because I believe it'll help us understand and grasp the truth that is being presented in this particular scripture. Colossians 3 and verse 16 says this, "Let the word spoken by Christ the Messiah have its home in your hearts and minds and dwell in you in all its richness as you teach and admonish and train one another in all insight and intelligence and wisdom in spiritual things as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody to God with His grace in your hearts." Now, I just got to take our attention for a moment to this particular scripture. And this is so awesome. It said, let the word spoken by Christ, the Messiah, have its home. Have its home. As soon as I read that, I mean, especially this time of the year, I'm thinking about people coming home for the holiday. You know, that's the place of permanence. You might move to West Virginia or you might move to Florida, but there's always a place called home. And that's the place of permanence. You know what I'm talking about? And so the writer, Paul, he's saying, I want you to create a place of permanence for the Word of God. A place of permanence for the Word of God. And that is so essential. You might want to write that word down, permanent. A permanent place for the Word of God. Now, why is that? Here's what the definition is for permanent. It means a lasting or remaining without essential change. Permanent means lasting or remaining without essential change. So if we were to make the Word a home in our life, that means no matter what's going on around us, no matter what circumstances have changed, the Word in us is lasting and enduring and literally without change. So things may change on the outside, but things do not change on the inside because I've made the Word a place called home in my heart. It's a place of permanence. And when you think of Christmas, you know, you think of the birth of Christ. I want us to think of it a little bit differently, a little bit, you know, non-traditionally. You know, I'm all for all the celebration, and believe me, I'm not a bah humbug kind of guy, but kind of I am, but I mean, not totally, but I suppose it's the commercialization of the whole thing. You know, it rubs me, and the baby Jesus thing, I mean, maybe you pray to baby Jesus, but I don't pray to baby Jesus, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I love the baby Jesus in all the Christmas pageants. And the little shepherd boys in their, you know, in their little bathrobes and all that. And that is so cute. But that's not what Christmas is all about, okay? We're talking about the birthing of Christ into the world. In other words, He made His entrance into the world. And when He made His entrance, He made it with purpose. And that is that He would find a place of permanence in the world. He wanted a place called home. God wanted to create what we all know and feel and sense around that Christmas celebration of home with family and friends. He understood the importance of dwelling permanently with man. It was God's heart from the time that Adam fell. He wanted to again be restored in relationship with Adam. And so he sent his only begotten son. Now this is a powerful verse in Psalm 119. And I believe it's at 130, Psalm 119, I think it's 130. The entrance of thy word brings forth what? Light. Come on, you can preach to me now. The entrance of thy word brings forth what? Light. Now watch this. The word entrance means revelation or disclosure. So Christ himself came into the world. When Jesus Christ was born, when he made his entrance, it was a revelation or a disclosure of the Father of the Godhead. You understand what I'm talking about? So he made his entrance into the world. Notice what Luke 1:79 says, that the people who were sitting in great darkness saw, hallelujah, a great light. So we see that this revelation and this disclosure of Christ coming into the world brought light. Now the word light in Psalm 119 verse 130 means this, to establish favorable circumstances. To establish favorable circumstances. So we understand now that God's revelation of Christ, his entrance, his disclosure of Christ into the world, so that he might bring forth favorable circumstances in our life and the relief of trouble. That's what the word light there means in Psalm 119 and 130. So now the birth of Christ is taking on a different connotation for me. Now I'm recognizing that Christ had to come. He had to make an entrance into this dark world. He had to have a revelation. God had to have a revelation. God had to have a disclosure of who the Son of God is. And when that revelation and that disclosure comes, it produces, or the effect of it, or the manifestation is light, which is creates favorable circumstances in your life, or favorable conditions and a relief of trouble. Now Jesus said, look, I just want you all to check this out. This is what he said. He said, in this world you shall what? Have tribulation. You're going to have trouble. But isn't it good to know you can find relief in that trouble? That's what he said that light will do. It will bring you relief from trouble. Now go with me to the book of John. Now I know you know all these scriptures. You all are theologians. But I'm just going to remind us a little bit. All right, go back to John chapter 1. And I mean, we're just impressed with the hunger of the people in this region. And I mean, we talk about it all the time. You all are like powerful in God. You have such deep commitments to Jesus. And it has provoked us to go deeper in the Word of God. But John chapter 1 and verse 1, that's New King James. I'm going to read out of the Amplified. It says this, in the beginning before all time was the Word, Christ. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God himself. Go down to verse 14, because this is real vital. This is real vital. And the Word, Christ, became flesh incarnate and tabernacle, fixed his tent of flesh and lived a while. Now look at somebody and say, he just lived a while. Oh, that is so important. Now we read in Colossians, hold that right there. Don't leave me. But Colossians 3:16 said, let the Word of God dwell in you permanently. Didn't he say permanently? He said, make a home. Permanence. A place that is undisturbed. Let it be there on a continual basis, not affected by the external circumstances in your life. Let the Word be Word in you no matter what. That's basically what Colossians is saying. But now we're reading about John chapter 1 and verse 14, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. It tabernacled for a while. So now we see that there is a disparity between what Paul is saying about permanence and what John is disclosing about Christ, who became flesh. And he said it was for temporary. It was for a time. It was for a season. It was just for a while. Look at somebody and say, it was just for a while. Okay, watch this now. Continue to read with me in verse 14. And we actually saw his glory, his honor, his majesty, such glory as an only begotten son receives from his father, full of grace, favor, loving kindness, and truth. Full of grace, full of favor, full of truth. So verse 14 tells us that he lived a while among us, but he wants permanence. So now I understand that the coming of Christ through Christmas was for the sole purpose of finding a permanent dwelling place. Now, he doesn't dwell in buildings made of brick and stone. Aren't you glad? Whew. Now, some people think their churches are possessed by God or something. I don't know, man. I mean, I've been in a place where you can feel the presence of God, but I'm talking about where he wants to hang out. He's not hanging out in asphalt. He's not hanging out in concrete block. He's not hanging out in those kind of places. He wants to dwell inside of you and inside of me. He's looking for a place of permanence. The place of permanence is established through regeneration. In other words, when you are born again, you open up a place of permanence for the Word to dwell, for God's revelation to come forth. In other words, now when you receive Christ as your Savior, you now are having a disclosure and a revelation of God's eternal plan for the ages in your life. I'm talking about, I didn't come to church here this morning just to worship and sing a few songs, hear a preacher preach a little bit, and then go home and eat some turkey and watch the Browns clinch the playoffs. No, that's not why I come. I came here today because I'm coming in face to face with a God who's revealing himself in permanence with the disclosure and revelation of who he is, and he's producing light. I can't help it. I just get excited. He produces light. What does that mean? Favorable circumstances and a relief from trouble. I'm talking about Merry Christmas, baby. I mean, this is awesome. Come on. Look at somebody say, Merry, Merry Christmas. Come on. I mean, we're talking about a change of status. Now, this word is always seeking a place of entrance. The word is a penetrating agent. The word cannot and does not want to dwell by itself. The word wanted to become flesh. God couldn't hardly stand it until the fullness of time. God wanted to send his only begotten son into this world because he wanted to disclose himself. He wanted a revelation to come forth. He wanted to redeem mankind back to himself. God couldn't hardly wait. And when the time came, the word, you see, the word is always seeking entrance. Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 2. You might want to write that verse down. It's right up here. You'll find it quicker here than you will in your Bible unless you go to the table of contents. Anyway, the Spirit entered into me when he spoke to me and set me upon my feet. Ezekiel said, here's something happened. When God talked, something got in me. Do you see what I'm saying? He said, when God opened his mouth, the Spirit jumped up inside of me. The Spirit entered into me when God spoke. Let me speak something right now prophetically to anybody in this room who can have faith to receive it. When the word is being spoken, you can receive a miracle right where you sit. You get a breakthrough. You can get understanding. You get healing in your body. You get direction. You can get free from addictions right now. Not because of me. I'm nobody. But when I put the word in my mouth and declare that word, that Spirit of God that's on that word will enter you. And you'll never be the same. Ezekiel said, man, when God talked, something possessed me. How many know what I'm talking about? God speaks, man. It's like, I mean, he moves you. It just troubles the water up inside. Now look at the next scripture, because we see in Isaiah chapter 34 and verse 16. Seek out of the book of the Lord and read. Not one of these details of prophecy shall fail. None shall want and lack her mate. Now, this is powerful because my wife and I, about 34 years ago, we've been married 36 years, we mated. All right. He said, well, this is church. He's talking about mating in church. Well, just in the natural, I want you to understand it. When we mated, we produced. I've got 4 children and 10 grandchildren. And our manifestation of our coming together is evident. See, we want God to manifest. Tina said yesterday in our prayer, intercessory prayer on Saturday morning, she said, manifest is man, I feast at what God is doing. Wow. See, you and I can feast over God's disclosure and revelation. When God is disclosing, when God is revealing, we are in a feast. He sets the table, the very table of the Lord, in the presence of your enemies, and they can do nothing about it. God is blessing you, and it is making the devil so mad. Matter of fact, some of your friends are mad too. You know, some people can't rejoice when you get blessed. They're like, well, can't believe that he's blessed over there. What's he doing that I'm not doing? You know, but God is like, wow, he just wants to bless. But this word is powerful because we see that none shall want and lack her mate in fulfillment. For the mouth of the Lord has commanded and his spirit has gathered them. The Holy Ghost hovering over the earth without form or void, waiting for the word to come forth. When that word was spoken, let there be light. Holy Ghost jumped all over that. The Spirit gathered the Word of God. Now understand something. You and I, like Mary. Mary, did you know your baby boy? You know that song that we have worn out in church? But she didn't know. But her womb was ready. Look at somebody and say, her womb was ready. Now ask them, is your womb ready? Now if you're talking to a man, don't get funny. But I'm telling you, everybody in this room who's a believer, who's been regenerated, has a womb. Now stay with me. Because some of you are looking at me like weird. But we have a womb. Put the scripture back up. I'm not done with it, please. Seek out of the book of the Lord and read. Not one of these details of prophecy, not one of these words that I have spoken shall fail. None shall want and lack her mate. None will leave me and go into them without producing. Now watch this, Isaiah 55. You know the scripture. Isaiah 55, look at verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. Why? Because it will find a mate. God didn't save you just so you can go to church and sing Kumbaya. God redeemed you and I. Why? So he can produce the kingdom of God in the earth. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. He said, just like the rain and the snow produce a harvest and bring forth the vegetation, so shall my word that goes forth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void without producing any effect. Useless. I love that. You see, when you're hearing the word here this morning and you're really born again, your womb is ready. And that word is coming into your spirit and it is going to produce. That's why if you've gotten up and you're sick in your body needs to mate with the eternal word of God that says, by his stripes, I am whole. You see, God says, put that word in there and it will produce. It will produce. It is not going to be without effect. It's not going to be useless, but it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing. I like that word thing, thing. Sometimes I said thang, in the thing for which I sent it. Sometimes you just got to talk to yourself, thang, get that thang going. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, when you're in the middle of a struggle, you don't care about what anybody else thinks. God, do your thing, baby. Come on, God. Your word. Accomplish that which I please and purpose. It shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. You see, the Word is eternal. It's all powerful. Here's what I don't understand about this generation of Christians. I hate to even call them that because they're un-Christian. They're not Christian. They just identify with Christianity, but you've given us a bad name. So I'm talking about followers of Christ. I'm talking about believers. I'm talking about sold out disciples. Those are the people I'm talking about. But see, I don't understand about those other kind of Christians who say they love Jesus. You can get in a mass room of 1,000 people and say, how many here love Jesus? And, oh, I love Jesus. How many love his word? Well, I'm a little bored reading the Bible. I mean, it's okay. But see, how can you love Jesus and not love his word? Isn't the Word Jesus and Jesus the Word? Huh? Come on. Aren't they one and the same? Yeah, they are. See, get that revelation to know that you're holding in your hand that which became flesh and dwelt among us and was revealed. A revelation came in this earth. So, you know, get me up on Larry King and ask me, well, do you believe that Christmas is, you know, why shouldn't you? Let me talk to you, Larry. Let me tell you about the birth of Christ, the revelation and the disclosure of God's plan for humanity, and how he determined the desire to make a permanent dwelling in the hearts of men, and how his word would penetrate that very spirit of their life, and it would produce everything that it intended and was sent to produce. See, when you talk about the birth of Jesus, oh my God. Goodness, every time the word goes forth, the Spirit of God goes with it. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, and the eyes of the Lord, run to and fro throughout the land, throughout all of Chagrin and Boulevard and Beechwood and Solon and wherever we are. God is looking for people where he can dwell permanently in and mate with. I said, God, you can mate with me anytime you want to mate with me. God, I want you to mate with my church. I want my church to produce your word. I want it to have impact. I want, when your word declares it, I want us to see it in the natural. I want to be able to see the tangible evidence, the manifestation. So, I'll settle down. There's power in a word encounter. But until you become a word lover, you will never experience that power. I mean, it's powerful. Just speaking a word, just declaring right now, just reading these scriptures was enough to get somebody healed in here. That's enough. Enough to give you a solution to your marriage difficulty right now. You don't have to go to a counselor. The word of God will counsel you, will speak to you. It will produce what its intent was. You know, go to Acts chapter 14. Watch this in Acts 14. I mean, Paul's just preaching. He's just preaching like I'm preaching, probably a lot more eloquently than I am, but he was preaching. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, crippled from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. He heard Paul speaking. He heard Paul speaking. And when he heard the word that Paul was speaking, something happened inside of him. He began to have faith to be healed. And Paul said, hey, I see what's happening to you as you're hearing the word. He told him, he said, rise up and be healed. He was healed, or the manifestation came because he heard the word. In Acts chapter 10, the same thing. Peter was preaching to Cornelius' house. And it tells us that while Peter was still speaking, preaching the word, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. It was just the word going forth. You know, we've been doing some research. Somebody gave us this awesome research paper on neutrons, atoms, electrons. And electrons, they have found now that an electron will move when somebody comes into its presence. In other words, you leave the electron alone. It's just stagnant. But as soon as you walk up next to it, it begins to move. When you talk, it speeds up even more. The word coming out of our mouths is so powerful. My wife said something the other day. If you ain't got nothing good to say, keep it closed. If you can't, Why? Because you're ruining my day. Because your words have power in them. Your words are trying to birth stuff. Okay, watch this. Our negative words, our non-word words, are like being raped. Or having sexual relationship with someone outside your husband. Because your womb has been reserved for God. You following what I'm saying? So, no, baby. I am not putting anything foreign in the womb of my spirit that has been reserved for God's mating purposes. Now, don't think sexually on me because you'll get kinky. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Word of God. The Word is the seed. The seed is the Word of God. And it comes in your spirit and it produces God's intention, God's plan, God's purpose on the earth. But when you and I begin to put words that are negative, words that are opposite of God's plan, words that are a doubt and fear, then what does it do? It begins to impregnate us with a foreign seed. And it'll give birth to that which is not God's plan. Three things. I'll close with this. But don't get excited because my closings don't mean anything. Some of you thought, well, this ain't bad, man. We'll be out of here. See the second quarter. This will be great. Hey, look, I'll meet earlier if you want to. How many would like to have church service here at 8 a.m. in the morning? Anybody? Three people. Well, okay. I kind of like this noon thing. Man. You can sleep in, read the paper. I just want to share with you three reactions to somebody who's encountered the Word. Somebody who's encountered Christ. I'm talking about a born-again person. Somebody that's been regenerated. There are three things that I saw in the Christmas story that I believe will help us. Go to Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. The first thing that happens are indications that you have had an entrance of the Word of God, a revelation and a disclosure of who He is into your life, and light has come. It says this, "The angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all the people.'" The angels began to make declarations of peace and of joy. They began to create a confession out of their mouth. The first indication of a person who's been regenerated is you have a Holy Ghost confessional in your life. In other words, you are going to be constantly confessing the Word, speaking the Word, speaking and declaring the Word. Matthew chapter 12. And verse 34 says, out of the abundance of one's heart, the mouth begins to speak. See, a person who's been regenerated is a person who will line up their heart with their mouth. So out of our heart, our mouth will begin to speak. You know, there's times I'll go to hospital calls. And folks have been in our church, have been hearing me preach for 15 years, maybe 2 years. I don't know, it's been a long time. And we get in there with them. We start talking about God's provision and what we're believing God for. And they start going into this, I hope and I fear and I doubt. And I'm thinking, wait, what church do you go to? I mean, I'm preaching up there like crazy every day and sweating and spitting and doing all that stuff. And you're up here hoping and praying and believing that maybe God might do something. Are you kidding me? You know what I'm saying? I got to get my heart and my mouth lined up. I mean, I don't know where you're speaking from, but it's not your heart. It's not your spirit. You're speaking from some other place. And so we want to line that up. So a person who's regenerated, their heart, their mouth will line up. I mean, Proverbs 18:21. You know all these scriptures, but listen to what's in your tongue. I mean, just on the tip of your tongue. There is life and death in the power of your tongue. I mean, I can't hardly fathom that death and life are in the power of my tongue. I said, God, when I declare your word, I can produce life. I can guarantee you, I can go home after this service today, walk into a house full of my family, and create death by what I say. You know how that is. But I can also create life. I'd come up on a discouraged, depressed person and inspire them with words of life. Or I can help him find a cemetery plot and take care of their arrangements and put him under by my words. So a person, number one, has a good confession. Number two, he is a person who worships. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11a, we read this scripture, and it's powerful because the wise men, the kings of the east came, and they said when they found the baby, they kneeled down and they began to worship him. So their response, the angels began to make confession and declaration. The wise men began to worship Jesus. They bowed and they began to worship. I want to tell you something about worship. I believe that just because you sing songs doesn't mean you're worshiping. A lot of people sing and sing well, but they're not worshiping. They're churching. Here's what I believe true worship is. Not only is the beauty of holiness lined up with your purpose and your alignment for your life, that you're fulfilling your destiny, because that's worship as well. But I believe it's when your regenerated spirit is in communion with God's spirit. That's worship. So I don't have to be in a song service to worship. I can be, which will enhance it maybe, because my mind is on Jesus and it's getting me all excited when you start talking about God is good, Sandy. That was good. I wanted to come up here and sing with you. One of these days we're going to do a duet. There won't be anybody here when we do it, but we're going to do it. You know, it can enhance my worship, but my true worship is that I'm in communion with God's Spirit. Spirit to spirit is worship. Why? John 4:24. Look what it says. I mean, you know John 4:24, right? God is a spirit, and he is what? Looking for what? Those who worship in spirit and in truth. In other words, commune with God's Spirit on the word, truth, and that is a worshiper. So you could be a worshiper. You know, some people are intimidated by all the latest crazies, you know, things that we have in the worship. Whether you got to dance, shout, you got to twist, you got to do what everybody else is doing, you got to have the color lights, you got to, you know, have the latest and greatest. Well, okay, that's cool, but you know what? That's not necessarily worship. That'd be a whole lot of people in a big old coliseum just having a concert. That doesn't necessarily mean it's worship. You know, I found out that the people that are most boisterous, the loudest, the ones that are most demonstrative, are often the people that don't really have communion with God. Because they got to make up for what they really don't have. But when you have Jesus, when you have communion with God, you've got the Holy Spirit, you're communing with God's Spirit, I don't have to prove anything. I mean, there may be a time when the Holy Ghost will come on me and I'm going to run around this building. I mean, go out there and catch one of them turtles and throw it up in the air. I don't know. I mean, I may do that. But other times, I may just sit there and I may just muse before the Lord. And just because you're dancing and shouting and glowing doesn't mean you got more of it than I got. They worshiped the Lord. They came in communion with the Spirit of God. Amen? Being born of the Spirit makes you a spirit. Then finally, Matthew chapter 2. And verse 11b, Matthew chapter 2, verse 11b. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I'm still waiting on the kings of the east to help us pay for St. Jude's. I'm believing God that we're going to pay cash for that building. Hey, listen, we already got $1 million. You didn't know that, did you? Did I tell you? You weren't here last week. We already got $1 million toward it. They said, who gave $1 million? Well, you know, it just happened. Somebody said, if we buy the property, they'll sell it to some doctors who will buy some of the property on the corner for the million and give us the rest. So now we need $1.5 million, and we got the property paid for, cash. Where are you kings at? You're in here somewhere. You're in here somewhere. But watch this. They brought their treasure bag. You know the difference between, I mean, people who are really born again and people who are just using Jesus? It's like Judas. His hand was in the treasure bag. But it wasn't his. It was Jesus' treasure bag that he had his hand in. Isn't that true? But the real worshiper, the one that's been really born again, will dip into their treasure bag and give to the Lord. I'm not talking just about money. I'm talking about your gift, your talent, your investment, who you are. Everybody in this room has a gift. Everybody in here has a personality that is unique and that we can contribute together for the overall good of the kingdom of God. And we need you to be involved in the ministry. That's why we're calling everybody to volunteer, be a part, whether it's an altar minister or maybe it's an usher. Maybe you want to be on a ministerial team of training and get into our internship program. Maybe you want to go into missions. I don't know what God wants you to do, but I'm telling you something. You want to open up your treasure bag to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I believe people that are truly born again can't help it. I also believe that people that are truly born again operate in what I call a spirit of excellence. Amen. It's never good enough for God. I believe God's house ought to be the most extravagant of all. I've been to some churches. My goodness, the ceilings are falling in. I mean, the carpet's all threadbare. And you got this odor and this smell in the building, and the parking lot's all chewed up. And then you go to the pastor's house, and he's living in a mansion. I mean, excuse me, I'm sorry. I think the man of God ought to be blessed, but wait a minute, back up. Extravagance where? In the house of God. Let's not be subject to Haggai, where we live in our panel houses and God's house has got, you know, threadbare carpet. You know, I believe that if you teach a class or you minister in children's church, you ought to come prepared. You ought to be your best. You ought to look your best. You know, guys, come on. You ought to shine those shoes, brush them teeth, floss your teeth. Put a breath mint in your mouth. You know, shave that hair off your neck. Get that hair out of your nostril nose. You know, look good, man. I'm serious. Put a little cologne on. Square your shoulders up. Walk and talk like you know something, even if you don't know anything. Give your best to Jesus. Amen? Give your best to God. You know, sometimes we think, well, it's just the church. It's good enough for the church. No, not here. Time out. It ought to be the best for God. Now, I'm not talking about exorbitant amount of money spent on non-essentials. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about what we do ought to be the best. If you're going to sing, know the song. Don't go ahead and make up words as you're trying to sing and say we was anointed. That wasn't anointed. That was called ill-prepared. Right? Come open up your treasure bag and be all you can be for God. Extravagant giving. You know, I believe that we ought to go beyond the boundaries of religion and beyond average. I believe we ought to lavish our love on God. Everything we do, it ought to be a lavishing love, exorbitant amounts of thankfulness and praise. That's why I like when I come in here to praise and worship. You know, my wife and I drive in here, and praise God, we got here like 45 minutes today. It was great. Last week it was bad, but it was good this week. We walk in, come right into worship. I said, God, this is powerful. And this is a place where we can give you our extravagant praise. Lavish upon you our love and our thanksgiving. You brought me through this week, God. You gave me food to eat and drink. I mean, God, I slept. I got out of a bed this morning. Jesus, that is awesome. I mean, I had a pillow. I had two pillows. I mean, I am a doubly blessed man. Until you travel, I want you to come to Uganda with me. I want you to go to Haiti with me. I think in the coastal view today is some lists of things you can send the next time we go. Maybe you want to come yourself. I want you to see how people live. I want you to see in the third world what they're faced with every day of their life. And you see, we are so blessed. We are like the rich man of the New Testament, aren't we? And we need to share. We need to give. We need to give. This past week, and I don't have the video. I wish I did.
We have eight steel shots ready.
You have some shots. Okay, shoot them up there while we show you. I just want to show you what happened this week. We have a love center, a food pantry in the city of Lorraine. We've had it now for years. It's called the Love Center. And we made a call because nobody had any food in the whole city. And there's a lot of needs. We have 62 people from a homeless shelter today that are being transported over to our church, over to your church in Lorraine. And we're feeding them Christmas dinner. And we're giving all their children Christmas presents. And we didn't have any food, so I called up Feed the Hungry. And Feed the Hungry is Dr. Lester Summerall's vision. 1987, he was in Israel. And he received a vision from God to go around all the world and feed the hungry people and then tell them about Jesus. And so I've been with Dr. Summerall when he was on this earth. And he and I, we went to Nicaragua. We took 1.2 million pounds of food via ship. There it is, Feed the Hungry, La Sea Global Feed the Hungry program. And we saw people stand in lines 4 and 5 miles long in the hot, hot tropical sun. And just for a plastic bag of rice and beans. They stood out there 12 hours, some 24 hours, waiting to get this food because they were starving to death. And we brought it in on a C-130. We brought it in on a ship. And I made a call to them. I said, look, we need some food. Do you have any food? They said, we've got so much food, but we don't have anybody that wants to receive it. I said, you don't have anybody that wants to receive it? I said, well, our church wants to receive it. How much can you send me? He goes, how much do you want? I said, well, I don't know. I don't want 1.2 million pounds. I saw 1.2 million pounds. It filled up an airplane hangar. It was a huge amount. So here they came with the tractor trailer, 30 pallets full of food this week. I called them Tuesday, Thursday. The food was being unloaded in our warehouse and our love center. You didn't know you were part of such a great, compassionate ministry, did you? This is awesome for God. Amen? That's your church. And these are volunteers in your church. You say, well, I know. Well, we go to church out here. No, you're still part of that church. It's one church. It's not two churches. It's one church in two locations. And here we are. We're passing out food to people. And we had a church called St. Vincent de Paul. It's a Catholic church. They called us up and they said, look, we don't have any food. People are coming. Do you have anything? I said, well, how much do you want? I said, well, as much as you can give us. He said, bring your truck. We will load it up. And so we loaded up their food cupboard. Another pastor from Cleveland, I talked to him. He said, we don't have any food. I said, well, we've got plenty of food. And God began to speak to me, church. And I want you to hear this. Because my first sermon I've ever preached back in 1979 or whatever it was that God would raise us up as a Joseph generation. And where there wouldn't be food in one pantry, there wouldn't be food in another cupboard, God would always give us provision if we had faith to operate in it. And today we had an entire semi-tractor trailer food pantry delivered to us, and we're distributing it. And here's what they said. How much more do you want? I said, look, as many as you can send us, keep on bringing it. Yeah. A guy in my church, in the church in Lorain Park, the location, what did he do? He is in business. He just bought a warehouse. I think that's the warehouse right there. Is that the warehouse right there? It's close to it. Well, whatever. Anyway, he bought a warehouse. He said, I don't know why I bought this warehouse. I just felt like God told me to buy this warehouse. Then you call me on Tuesday and say, can you store some food for us? He goes, now I know why I bought the warehouse with a warehouse. And we filled that warehouse up with those big pallets of food and unloaded them in a tow motor, and we're going to be distributing them. I'm just thankful that we can be a Joseph church in this last hour. I mean, people can come. There you go. Look at all that food. People can come and find provision, not only natural, but spiritual. And I want to give us opportunity this morning to sow into this. I want us to sow into it. Every time I call them and say, bring more food, all I have to do is pay for the diesel. That's all I have to pay for. You know how much that costs from South Bend? $600 and some dollars. About $700. For $700, we brought 30 pallets, thousands of pounds of food. That's amazing to me. So I'm going to call them again tomorrow. Say, bring another truckload. Then God put this in our heart. I don't know how many homeless we have in this region. In Beechwood, I don't think you have very many, but you may have some. But out in the outlying areas, you might have more. In our city, in Lorain, we have 62 families that have filled up the shelter there. God said, not only to feed them, but I want you to bring them in. I want you to give them the life skill that they may need that they're lacking. I want you to teach them how employment skills of making resumes out and getting a job, provide them transportation, give them maybe some temporary housing wherever you can to get them back on their feet. I want you to empty out the homeless shelter in your city. I said, God, how can I do that? I can't do that. He said, I know you can't. He said, just tell the people, they'll open up their treasure bag and they will use their gifts and talents to minister to these. I want to invite any of you at any time to come out and help us to distribute to the homeless, distribute to the needy. We'll get that started here in this region as well because we've got plenty. It's called the Love Center. We'll open up a Love Center here. Maybe you're a business person and you have a building, a warehouse, maybe a corner of your building that we can use. And we'll start filling it with food. And every week we'll start distributing to the hungry in this area. We'll go out to the highways and byways and let them know that Jesus Christ loves them very much. So I'm going to ask you this morning, if you'd like to contribute to this, this is going to the homeless. This is going to the needy, the hungry. It's not going to the church. It's not going to me. It's not going to any person on our staff. It's going entirely to the homeless and to those that are in need of food. And if you'd like to give this morning, you can just take an offering. I don't know if we have offering envelopes there or not. But just write a check out to CNC. If you're giving cash, whatever. Maybe God just says, look, I'm going to give $5. That's great. Maybe you don't feel led of the Lord to give anything. Don't feel pressure to me. This is an offering. This is not a tithe. Offering is free will. It's a free will thing. Whatever God would speak you to you to give. But I want to give you opportunity to be a part of it. The people in the West location, they gave this morning. They were excited. I mean, they were just pumped. And we gave, I'm sure it's going to be a huge offering. And I believe it's going to be a great offering here this morning as well. Father, bless the people now in Jesus' name for giving to those that were hungry. You said, when I was hungry, you gave me to eat. And Lord, we said, when did we see you hungry? And you said, if you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. So, Lord, some of these here cannot go and actually hand out the food, but they can provide for the food. Bless them now as they give. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Go ahead and pass those buckets, guys. I appreciate that. And we just thank you so much. We want to pray this morning for those of you that may not be born again. Maybe you are having difficulty in your walk with understanding God. Maybe today you need to be born again. Maybe you need to have your spirit awakened. Because sin causes our spirit to sleep. But the forgiveness of sin, and we have a regeneration. We are regenerating the presence of God. You'll begin to understand your purpose and your direction in your life. And God has a plan for every person here this morning. So after you've given this morning, I just want you to bow your head for a minute. And all over this room, let me ask this question. You say, you know what, Pastor? If I were to die today, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I'm not real sure what would happen to me. But I'd like to know. I feel that God is here and God has been speaking to me. I understand a little more fully now about what Christmas is about. That God wants to give me a revelation, a disclosure of who He is. He wants to give me a relief from trouble. He wants to help me to have favorable circumstances. Right now, I just want to receive Him as my Savior. If that's your prayer, nobody looking around, you say, that's my desire. That's really what I want to do. We've been praying for you all week. I'm so glad you made it. No one looking around, I just want you to hold your hand up for a second and say, yeah, that's me. I need that prayer, Pastor. I need that prayer. If that's you, just hold it up high enough so I can see it. God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else? Right over there? Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Anyone else? Thank you over there as well. You can put it down. You know, this is an intimate moment. This is a very personal moment with just you and God. And that's why we ask people to bow your head. Close your eyes for a minute. Now, there's three or four people that already raised their hand, but there may be another person. Been a little bit shy, maybe unsure, maybe uncertain about whether or not you should. But you feel the tugging on your heart. And you know that that's God because it's a peaceful thing. It's not a difficult thing. You say, you know what? I need that prayer. Pastor, before you close, would you include me? And if you haven't already raised your hand, I want you to do it right now. If that's you, hold it up high enough. Thank you. I'm so glad I asked. Thank you over there. I'm so glad I asked. Any other person besides those? Don't raise it again, but thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I think Christians are praying all over this room because the Holy Spirit is moving. I feel Him. I feel Him in my physical body. I can tell when the Holy Spirit is ministering and the love of God is reaching out. So Christians, you begin praying quietly there right where you're sitting. We're going to ask one more time. You know, folks raise their hand and maybe there's another person that says, you know, I didn't raise my hand the first time or the second time. I didn't think you'd ask again. But golly, you've asked again, and I just have to respond. Pray for me, Pastor. I'd really like to give my life to Jesus Christ. If that's you, come on, you shoot that hand up. If you haven't already done it, you put that hand up high enough for me to see it. And we're going to include you in that prayer as well, all over this room. Anybody else? Amen? All right, let's all stand up. Thank you. Thank you over there. All right, God bless you. They did. They raised their hand. Altar ministers, I want you to come. Praise God. All of our altar ministers. This location's altar ministers. Yeah. We may need more because I saw probably a good 8 to 10 hands go up. But those of you that are here this morning and raise your hand, we want to pray for you. We're your friends. We're not your enemies. We're for you, not against you. We want to be a blessing to you. So if you raise your hand, here's what I want you to do. We're going to start singing, and I want you to come from where you are and meet one of these people across the front of this room. Ladies, find a gal. Guys, you find one of the men, and they'll pray with you, all right? Let's do it right now. Come on. If you raise your hand, come on. Go ahead and sing. Come on. This is your time.
Totally surrender.
Thank you, Lord.
To you. Father, I love you.
It's awesome. More ladies.
My heart is filled with desire to see your power and glory. Cover the earth as as the waters flow the sea. I am surrounded by the fortress of God. Totally surrendered to you.
Now, I don't know if everybody came up that raised their hand, but I think that if you were just to look at somebody and say, do you need that prayer? I'll go with you. And I want you to take them by the hand as if you were pulling them out of an actual storm water surge and they're about to go under and say, let's go. Let's go meet Jesus. Come on, look at somebody this morning. Look at somebody and ask them, say, do you need that prayer? Did you raise your hand? If they say, yeah, you take them by the hand and you bring them up to this front. Do it right now. Come on, you can do it right now. I am surrounded.
Totally surrendered to you.
Praise God.
Father,
I love you. Come on, let's worship the Lord.
My heart is filled.
Let's bless His holy name.
With desire to see.
Let's bless the Lord our God.
Your power. And glory, it covers the earth as the waters flow the sea. Oh, I am surrounded by the fortress of God, totally surrendered to you. Oh.
Father, this morning we're so thankful for the Word of God. We're so thankful that you have made an entrance, a revelation and disclosure into our life of who Jesus is. Father, that the light of God's Word is shining in our heart. That you have given us, O God, relief from trouble. You have given us, O God, favor. We're so thankful for that. I pray, Lord God, now that you would bless families on this very, very special occasion when we celebrate the entrance of Christ into the world. Bless them, Father, as they gather together, and may it be a momentous time when we acknowledge your greatness and your power. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. We got to live right, okay? Love everybody. Pray hard. We'll see you next Sunday morning. And we're excited about all that God's doing in your life. Amen. Be friendly with somebody this morning. If you need prayer, I want you to come and we'll pray for you.